Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5, the righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Oh, Frank
Lucas. You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell us?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back?
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom?
Yeah.
Shalom and good evening. I know that sounds a little different, huh? Tonight we're gonna blog talk tonight, as a matter of fact, and try to keep up and match with the outfit schedule. A lot of the other things going on. Wanted to get back as we return from San Antonio, getting back to Albuquerque. One commitment that we made is that we want to go ahead and get and from hearing from all the brothers, from Rochester, from Virginia, from Houston, from San Antonio. It was beautiful. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, we did observe Passover and the Holy Week of Unleavened Bread starting March 26th, sunset of March 26th, and being in league with the brothers from the Mashar Yashala, as they recognize those days for the Passover, and to keep some type of unity, in keeping with Zephaniah 2:1, gather yourselves together, you gather together, the nation that desires. Keeping that in the scripture talks about not to judge one another in respect of a holy day, what have you. This is trying to keep some unity and rehearsing the righteous acts of the Most High. We decided to team up with these brothers, with this group, in the observance of the high holy days. So we did observe Passover March 26th, sunset of March 26th, and the week of unleavened bread. But one thing we've always done is from our work schedules, and owning the businesses that we've owned in San Antonio, Houston, now Virginia, and also Rochester, is that we work the malls. That our main income, just income, where brothers are actually working together, and it was the businesses that we owned, and that we have to work the malls. And working the malls, the only 3 days that we had off from the mall schedule was Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving, the days that the malls were actually shut down. Now we even know that, you know, with Thanksgiving now, you might have Thanksgiving off, but they get ready for Black Friday almost at 6 p.m. that Thursday evening now. But getting back, one thing we started to do was, since Easter was the day that everybody had off, and we wanted to be able to congregate with one another as the brothers from the families from Albuquerque, the families from San Antonio, the families from Houston, we all wanted to be able to come together and really enjoy each other the best as possible, was to go and have the Passover together on Easter Day. And it wasn't a change to Easter, it went to recognize it as Easter, but that was the day that we had off, that everybody could now travel, and everybody could we could all come together in one place. Whether it was several years it's been in San Antonio, other years it's been in Houston, going back and forth between those two camps, that we've always just kind of kept that going. So this past Sunday, April 4th, we also observed the convocation of actually coming together, getting our garments together. And it's been 2 years since the COVID thing first hit. When the first, very, very, very first hit in 2019, I mean, it hit right when we was about to have Passover then. They say you can congregate with more than 10 people. And in 2020, you know, it didn't happen either. And then they come back now with 2021. We were finally able to come together, and it was beautiful. The garments, fantastic, marvelous. We had it at the place we had it at was called La Fontana. I can't remember the whole name of the place, but the place is not even important. It's that all these camps came together, all these brothers and sisters, these families came together after a 2 year hiatus. It was very beautiful. It was very, very beautiful. From the camp here in San Antonio, Sword of Truth, they hosted it. But we had brothers, camp members, family members coming down from Rochester, New York. Now, shout out to those brothers. Brothers from and families from Northern Virginia. But we know that Kazakia and those brothers, Kazakia and Arya, they put in a lot of hard work, sitting on the ground. To wake up Israelites there, as well as Rochester. The continuing work going on in Houston, the continuing work going on here in San Antonio and also in Albuquerque. It was really very beautiful. It was really refreshing. You know, it was almost reminiscent of the Passovers for those that were fortunate enough to make it to the Passovers in New York back in the day. Where you had, I mean, it was every year was growth from more cities, more brothers, more tribes. I'm remembering when Issachar was finally represented at the Passover from brothers in Albuquerque, coming in with Afiakabar is one of our sons, but Afiakabar came in, and he had the yellow, traditional yellow Issachar. I don't even know, there's a name for it, I just can't call off hand right now, but he had a sombrero that had the fringes on it. And it looked like a chariot, what it was on his head. He was beautiful, you know, and just seeing Gad and all the different tribes as you're coming together. It was, I mean, It was beautiful. It was reminiscent of that. So this gathering we had together this past Sunday, it really was, it was refreshing to be able to come back together and see family members that we haven't seen in 2 years. So it was pretty good. It was pretty good. So with that refreshing anointing that took place, we came back together, and after hearing a lot of brothers and seeing what was going on, seeing being refreshed and seeing the work that the brothers in Rochester, the brothers in Houston, the brothers in Virginia, have really been getting down and going down. Now we're like, all right, cool. Even though the teaching has not ceased for us in Albuquerque, our participation in Blog Talk, our participation in YouTube, has dwindled. That is obvious. It's dwindled. So we want to recommit ourselves to getting back on the Blog Talk, the Zoom, the YouTube. Because, like the scripture says, the Jews require a sign. Unfortunate as it may be, out of sight, out of mind. And when you're out of sight, you become out of mind. And then the question becomes, are y'all still in the truth? What happened? Where y'all at? And the work has continued. For the past 2 years, the work has definitely continued in developing, cultivating, and working with brothers and sisters and families. It's just not as been as public. As it has been in the past, or as has the brothers in Houston, the brothers in Virginia, and Rochester have continued to do. So one thing we want to recommit ourselves to is our shows, these shows, from Blog Talk to, like I said, adding the Zoom classes that we've been doing every Sunday anyway, and getting back on YouTube and getting that part back together, as well as just the things we've been working on. So that's what this is about. I know it's a little bit late for those that might be on the East Coast. It's starting at 10 o'clock your time. For those here in San Antonio, Central Standard Time, it's starting at 9, which is kind of late for some. And then in Albuquerque, starting at 8, and going all the way to the Pacific Coast, starting at 7. And that's only because, again, we're trying to readjust our schedule. You're used to hearing Blog Talk being announced and being done and talked at. If you're in the San Antonio area, at 10 a.m., if you're in the San Antonio area, 9 a.m. if you're in the Albuquerque, obviously 8 a.m. out there on the West Coast, and 11 if you're on the East Coast. But we want to try and adjust that only because from the work, the business that has gotten started there in Albuquerque, through the spirit power of the Most High, working with the brother Bonavai, we're up at 5 a.m. That's the time our we wake up. We have to wake up. It's necessary for us to wake up at 5 a.m. so that we might be at the warehouse by 6 a.m. So we have we deliver for Costco, we deliver for Pellington, and different companies with XPO. For those who might be familiar with that, or LMH if you're familiar with that, we do deliveries. Right? And in doing so, we have to be out of the warehouse. We'd like to try to be out of the warehouse between 7:30 and 8. So in being out of the warehouse by 7:30 to 8, I mean, our days just started a little early. For being in Albuquerque, being the largest city in New Mexico, and being, this is where it's at, there's different districts that Costco, LMH, SVL, that they have, to where some of the deliveries that we have to make in Albuquerque has us going all the way sometimes to Arizona. Because that's going to Utah, that's going to Colorado. Colorado quite frequently, as a matter of fact. What's that? Southwestern Colorado, as far as southern Colorado, period. The Denver hub has their own, they're further north in dealing with the cities of Colorado from Denver. And then further south from us, you have the El Paso routes. They go from El Paso to halfway up New Mexico. So for us, we cover the northern New Mexico, southern Colorado, that southeastern Utah, and southeastern or northeastern Arizona as well. So sometimes our routes, and we can never depend or pick which routes we're going to get, might have us traveling. It might be a five-hour trip to the city to make our drop-offs and deliveries, and then having to travel all the way back. So getting started at 5 a.m. in the morning, and then sometimes not getting back till possibly 10 p.m. at night, 11 p.m. at night, 12 p.m. at night, Some have been as late as 2 a.m. in the morning and having to get right back up at 5 a.m. to get back to work to get this started. So because of that, keeping the 9 o'clock, the 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. schedule in the mornings has been a little bit difficult. It's been a little bit it's been difficult, but we're really trying to work on getting that aspect back together as now the routine and brothers are getting the training that's needed to handle these jobs that can be done to where fortunately Mosai has blessed it, where the brother Bonabai was able to go to Houston. Not only has he, given the brothers here in San Antonio the opportunity to work for Costco, do these drop off and deliveries, but actually now going also to Houston and helping them establish the same thing now. So that eventually goes to Virginia, eventually goes to Rochester. As we keep this growing, as we keep not only the business going, but our family growing, our unit growing, that one thing I've always been very excited to always say that it never felt like it was separate camps, that it was the San Antonio camp, which is separate from the Houston camp, which is separate from the Virginia camp, which is separate from the Rochester camp, which is separate from the Albuquerque camp, that we were one camp. That if traveling up to Dallas, the teacher brothers and sisters that were up in Dallas, we went. That it was brothers that went from San Antonio and Houston going up to Dallas when it was trying to open up with Kazakia, the spirit was on Kazakia, to open up what was that, Baton Rouge. We had brothers that all traveled to Baton Rouge to help out with that endeavor. As they was working on Trinidad, getting to the point where as brothers from San Antonio were getting their passports together, cool, let's just help build Trinidad or whatever it might be. But it was always one. If it was going to not only just the Passovers, if it was going to the state fairs, that we was able to help fill in where help was needed. If it was with brothers going in and helping to sell, if it was brothers helping to teach back in Houston or back in San Antonio or what have you. We always have that support for one another. And seeing this Passover, this past Sunday, this dinner, which was fantastic. It really was reminiscent of that, so it was real good. So, again, I'm just saying all these things running my mouth. As I'm also waiting for the brothers and Albuquerque to set up the Zoom, and getting that started, that if you got the invites, you should have been invited to the Zoom class. And I'm about to chime in my brother right here. Shalom, I just seen your number pop up. Hello. Hello, Pop.
Hey, Shalom, Maki. How about you?
Shalom, Maki. How about you? What's good? What's good?
Shalom, Maki. Shalom, Yahshua. Shalom, Israel. Was good, y'all. Coming off a great Passover. It was a ball, man. We had a blast.
Again, it was refreshing to see these brothers and sisters.
Khan, definitely. I just heard what you said, man, and I've been grateful, man, too, for that very same thing, Mashallah, to where we've always operated as one camp. And that's one thing that I definitely can appreciate it through the years of my tenure in the truth, man, is that we've always been unified, whether it's Houston, VA, the new addition, Rochester. We've always kept it together, man. That's a beautiful thing.
Hold on one second.
Oh, yeah, and two, for everybody listening, for those that actually came out to the Passover, my son did the photography work, and I think he told me, I have to get back in contact with him, but he has all the photos on, I think, an SD card or something like that, which he's going to give to AWAR, the head of the San Antonio camp, and I'm not sure how he's going to get that out, but I will definitely keep y'all posted on that, and I'm sure he will as well. For everybody that took photos, man, it went so quick, man. We got to do a better job too, man. It was showing up to stuff on time, man. Really, we do, you know. And I'm speaking, I ain't just throwing darts at y'all because I was late my damn self. I think I was, hell, I was an hour late myself, and my family was even later. And it seemed like every task was like that, man. We're rushing, we're doing stuff at the last minute. But you got to do a better job, man, of getting there on time so we can enjoy everything that we're trying to do. Instead of rushing through things and then getting upset, getting mad when the venue owner kicks us out of the venue because we were told we had to be out at a certain time, man. We got to get there on time, y'all.
Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged.
Oh, bro, myself too, bro. Like I said, I was an hour late getting there. My ribs was probably 2 hours late getting there. But we definitely got to do a better time, man. Do a better job so we can enjoy all of our time and not be bitter, you know, saying, man, I ain't even get to do this. I ain't even get to do that. Well, nigga, if you would have showed up on time, you might have got to do some of those things that you complain about you ain't get to do. But anyway, bro, what are you doing, huh?
Well, I will add to that. Maybe if we go ahead and wake up the rest of 144,000, then we can have Passover in Jerusalem.
Yes, sir.
Then
yes,
sir. It will truly be on our own time, and we can enjoy the whole week like it's prescribed in the scriptures. Man. Hey, I'm getting some texts on some of the delivery business. Could you filibuster for a minute and let me finish this?
Come on, Mark, I got you. So I don't know what Mashavos has planned to go over. I've seen his title. Passover, why not Easter, something like that? Which is a good title, especially just coming off Passover. Hold on for a second, yo. Yes, I am back, y'all. So, like Michelle was saying, well, the topic of this class anyway. Why not Easter? I'm going to wait on the shop before I even dive into it. But thanks for everybody for tuning in. If this is your first time tuning in to Blog Talk, what we do is we go over the Bible, y'all. We teach a variety of classes dealing with the Bible, the King James 1611. Is our preference, which also contain the Apocrypha, which we definitely get into, which we definitely use. We will pull in other books to substantiate the Bible, but only for that purpose, man, just to prove that the Bible is a very valid source of information, and it can't be disproved, man. It's a real book. And that's what we stand on. That's what we govern our lives with. That's what we have been governing our lives with. And this is what keeps us stable. Matter of fact, let me get this right here. While we wait for Mashava.
I'm back here. Where
there
you going, bro? Where you going?
Back?
Yes, sir.
Isaiah 33:6.
That fits perfect.
He said fits in perfect. What you got going on?
Yep.
Cool.
I'll read it for you.
All right, Isaiah 30. Got it. Okay.
We will go back and forth with this. Me and you, we got this. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6, it says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and fear the salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure.
Fine. So, like I said before, this is what we've been governing our lives on for X amount of years, and this is what kept us stable, man. It's been the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding of the Bible, not our own opinions, because you might have a lot of people, and I'm sure you do if you're an Israelite, a lot of people look at you and they wonder how you're able to function and do the things that you've done and how you've been doing it for so long. But it's all the Bible, man. It's all the Bible. You know, I take no credit for what I got going on in my situation without the book, like Christ told us in, what is it, St. John chapter 5? He says, without me, you can do nothing. And that is a very true statement, man. Without this book, we're beasts or little children, man. We just react on instinct and on impulse. But the Bible really keeps us stable, not just our movements, but our mind. It keeps our mind stable. Because as y'all well know, you can be in any whatever arena you can be in, man, and your mind is just start thinking about something. Or you might wake up thinking about something. You have a song in your head, or you have something that just popped in your head out of the blue. You don't know where the hell it came from. Because your mind, like the scripture says, is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, man. So your mind is going to twist and turn and take you in many different directions. But it's always the Bible that brings the mind back and makes the mind stable, man.
I like how you keeping this scripture right now as kind of an anchor. It says Isaiah chapter 23 verse 6. It says, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of the times." And a lot of people do refer to the scripture, and they'll use the scripture, but they use it in error. And the reason I'm gonna say that is for this reason here. What is the wisdom and knowledge that's going to keep a person stable during these days? And keeping with the topic that we're dealing with, why Passover, not Easter? A lot of people might have family members that you're dealing with, whether close family, nuclear family, or whomever, and they might be coming at you about why you keep the Passover, why you observe the Passover, why you do some of the things you do. And continuing with the scripture right here, it says, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be a stability at times." If you can help me get two scriptures real quick, Dr. Pa. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. The reason a lot of us don't have stability is for this very reason right here. It's because, well, let me just make the scripture speak for itself. Could you read for me Hosea chapter 4, verse 6?
Yeah, let me get it real quick. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
So one reason that why our people don't have stability in their lives, I'm referring to mental stability. I'm not referring just to financial stability. I'm referring to mental and spiritual stability. If wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our times, we're seeing here that Most High is telling us in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, that what? My people, his people, the Israelites, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That because we lack knowledge, this is one reason why we don't have any stability in our lives. This is why we don't have the mental stability in our lives. This is why we have the panic attack. This is why we have the fear of everything. This is why we're so superstitious. Because we really have no stability in our lives because we don't have knowledge in our lives. But now, what knowledge is it referring to? What knowledge is God talking about when he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and at the same time, if they had knowledge, they would be saved. Can we read verse 1?
Verse 1, Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth.
Has a controversy.
He has issues with us, with his people, the Israelites. And he's about to describe his issues he has with us. One, he says there's no mercy. There's more, as much as you can scream and chant, Black Lives Matter. If Black Lives really matter, the only time you protest or you hear about Black Lives Matter is when the police kill somebody who was doing something illegal anyway. Kill somebody that was doing something wrong anyway. All of a sudden, now Black Lives Matter. But what about the Black lives that are destroyed at abortion clinics all across America? Where's that protest at? Where's that protest at if Black lives really matter, that the abortion clinic, every last abortion clinic across America, in every single hood, every Planned Parenthood, should be burned to the ground? Where's that protest at if Black lives really matter? If Black lives matter, why are the drugs still being sold? And everybody knows where the crack house is. They know where the weed man is. They know where the dope man is. They know. You know who it is. If Black Lives Matter,
But our people got the no snitching policy. The no snitching policy, and if you snitch, then they after you trying to murk you.
And that's why I said we have no stability.
And then like the scripture you went over, bro, for that lack of knowledge. Because if you're telling, then that means you actually care, first and foremost. And since you actually care, that means you're gonna get that crap out of your community, out of the area that you're living in. But to say that we have a no snitching policy means that you don't care. You don't care about your own damn people. So what's gonna happen? What's
very
gonna happen?
True.
You're gonna get these ran down neighborhoods. Well, these youngsters, they're inheriting your ignorance, and then pretty soon they're going to be in the penitentiary. And then then they're going to have kids that they leave that's going to follow the exact same cycle, and it's just going to repeat itself.
And this is why people get the term generational curses. This is generational, what have you. This is generational because we still are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And God's got an issue with this, to where, again, he says, I have a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. That first off, there is no mercy. Then he goes on to say, I believe you're in verse 2, right?
Well, you want me to finish verse 4? Because first he said there is no truth. Then he jumped in the mercy.
Okay, I've got no, there's no truth. From the scriptures, what is the truth? We know from St. John 17:17 that God's curse is true. We know from Psalms 105:15, if I'm correct, God's commandments are the truth. So what is it that when God says there's no truth? One, his word and his commandments are not found amongst our people. We're going to keep his commandments, keep his laws, keep his ways. So there's no truth amongst our people. And it's some of the controversy that we have, that God has with us. Reading on.
Nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land.
So the knowledge that we're destroyed for is that we don't have God's knowledge. So the reason that we don't have the mental stability, the reason we don't have the spiritual stability is because we really do not have God's knowledge. So, but like the scripture said in Isaiah 36, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability at times. That the knowledge we don't have, since we don't have God's knowledge, we don't have that stability in our mind. So every little thing has got us paranoid. Every little thing has got us shook. Every little thing from this COVID virus got us shook. I'm not saying that we shouldn't take precautions, but if we really have God's knowledge, we know that God kills. We know that God is the one that is omnipotent. He's all powerful. God says that he lifts up his hand forever and swears on himself. He says, I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. We know that from the scriptures and God's knowledge, that death is issued from him. If he wants you to die, God gives a death warrant. Just like a court, a judge in a court might issue a warrant for your arrest. God issues a warrant for people to die all over the world. So if we really had God's knowledge, then the, a lot of the fears and the panics and the mental stresses that we go through wouldn't be there if we really had God's knowledge, if we really understood how to please God. And many of us have not learned how to please God. So we're doing things like worshiping Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, going to church on Sundays, out of tradition, and we're going to definitely pull that scripture up, that we've been following traditions, but we've not been following God. We've not been about God's knowledge. And again, this is why, as we're not losing the topic for tonight, why Passover and not Easter. We're going to get into these things because, again, Easter is one of the biggest holidays in America, in the world. But one of the biggest holidays in America because you've got everything shut
it's
down.
It's the fourth. When you check, it's the fourth highest grossing holiday in America.
The fourth. Wow.
Yeah, it's the fourth.
Which we've been taught commemorates Christ's resurrection. That Christ resurrected from the dead. That this is what this celebration is supposed to be about. That we're honoring Christ's resurrection from the dead. But is that, how did Christ say to honor, or did he even say honor his resurrection? Is that something to be celebrated?
Con, is Good Friday to be celebrated?
Right. And if it's Good Friday, because Good Friday is the day he died, how do you get 3 days and three nights? Supposedly, exactly. If he supposedly died on Good Friday, where you see people got one little axe on their head and all type of stuff. It's Good Friday because that's the day he died. And why would anybody call the day that Christ died good?
Come on,
why would that be acknowledged as good? That it's good that Christ died, was crucified on a Friday when Christ was sweating drops of blood, not wanting to go through that crucifixion. But
Connor, you know, if you got think about Friday, this, y'all.
Afternoon.
Think about this. It's so idiotic. If you have a relative that died, and I've had plenty of relatives die, I don't remember one celebrating the fact that they died or being happy about it or throwing a party about it. I don't recall that. But how is it we can have a celebration and throw a party for Christ dying for his people? How is that?
And if it's about Christ, then why are we teaching children about a rabbit laid eggs? If it's about Christ and acknowledging his resurrection from the dead, then what does a rabbit laying eggs have to do with any of that? So again, try to use this as a beginning example. Not the only examples of how our people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. And because we don't trust in, rely on, and use God's knowledge, this is why we have a lack of stability in our lives. This is why we have the chaos and the drama and the worries and the fears and the nervousness and the superstitions that we have. That even here in Texas, it's kind of funny. Even here in Texas has officially lifted the wearing of masks in public, officially. But you know how many people out here are still wearing a mask everywhere they go? And now, how many people have been terrified and under duress to get the vaccine shot? Looking for stability, looking for safety, but not turning to God's word, but not using God's knowledge. How is Daniel
I was genuinely able to be in the lion's den. And if we go back and get God's knowledge, Daddy was in the lion's den for 6 days, not just overnight. And they didn't feed those lions they did not feed those lions before they threw Daniel in, because they just knew those lions were going to tear him up. And Daniel was in the lion's den for 6 days. But Moshe had to have a cook. He had to have a chariot beam him up, beam Habakkuk up, and he just got finished fishing some pottage. Beam him to where Daniel was, give Daniel the plate, and then beam Habakkuk back to where he was at. When we calculated the distance from Jerusalem to Babylon, it seemed like 1,500 miles.
Talk about the DoorDash. Mm.
But in no having God's knowledge, if he took care of Daniel, because Daniel feared the Most High, if he took care of the few wise men in the prophet, if he took care of Joseph in prison, if Paul got bit by a viper, shook it off, because he was doing the work of the Most High. While everybody else is looking at him to die, any second he's about to drop dead. Nobody gets bit by that type of viper and lives, when Paul did. That if we really had God's knowledge, the fears that we operate our lives with will be at a minimum. And then the things we put our trust in, like people trust that Easter, by me getting my Easter best suit once a year, getting my Easter haircut once a year, getting my Easter dress and shoes once a year, then I'm going here to this Easter celebration, this Easter mass, and I'm going to be studying. Because this is how I love God. This is how God wants me to love him. And a lot of people hold on to this tradition of Easter, and they decorate the eggs and make sure the kids, you know, they throw them out there in front of the church or in the backyard or in the play area or whatever. And really want the kids to know and acknowledge that Peter Cottontail, the Easter Bunny, came and left these eggs. So that kids now are more excited and more looking forward to a rabbit that lays eggs than they are to actual Christ. And his life.
You know, other things you said is all leading to one thing, because you mentioned the haircuts, the outfits, the Easter egg hunts. And you couldn't go, and I don't know if you've seen it, but you couldn't go anywhere in San Antonio over the weekend without seeing a Easter egg stand set up where they were selling glowing Easter eggs or the eggs with the confetti in it. I mean, they were like on every corner.
Such a wrong one.
Yeah, every corner. And then, like, every store was packed. You know, people buying outfits and shoes and all kind of stuff, getting ready to go to church on Sunday, which goes back to what I was saying earlier about Easter being the fourth highest grossing holiday in America. But even the scriptures talk about that. Can I get this out?
Please do. Talk to me.
It says it's 2 Peter 2. And I want to start it at verse 1, but the point I want to get to is actually in 3.
That's cool. I got you. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction."
So it says it's going to be false prophets and false teachers, just like it was then, even like it is now, because the scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. And it said privately they're going to bring in the damnable heresies. Heresies is anything that goes against the Bible. Like Mishab was bringing out, Easter egg hunts and bunnies has nothing, absolutely nothing, to do with the Bible. It said that these people are bringing a swift destruction on themselves because it has nothing to do with the Bible, and you're leading other people to follow this false belief. Verse 2.
2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. By reason of whom
that?
The way of the of truth shall be evil spoken of.
And the way of the truth is evil spoken of. You know, we tell the people we sell the Passover, and they look at us like we're crazy. Like, we don't know what the hell we're talking about. When they don't have a clue what Passover is even about. And you get some people that say, well, Easter is in the Bible, and I'm sure we're going to get to it. It only appears in the Bible one time, y'all. One time. And we're going to get some understanding on that also tonight. But it says that many people shall follow in pernicious ways, by reason of whom the truth shall be evil spoken of. Verse 3.
Verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. As through covetousness, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you.
Damn. That's the part I want to get to right there.
Okay.
That's the part I want to get to right there. It says, with a feigned word. The word feigned means fake, y'all. The fake words. Come and celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. Come and get baptized. Come and support your personal Lord and Savior. The prosperity teaching. Oh, God is definitely with us. He gonna bless you. He gonna give you that job you want. He gonna give you them checks you've been longing for. Those are the fake words. Bunnies laying eggs. It says with fake words, make merchandise of you. And that's what it's come to. It ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. It ain't got nothing to do with Christ. They just trying to get a check from you, going run up in these stores, buying outfits, buying shoes, going to the barbershop, getting a haircut, buying these eggs that they have to sell on the corner this weekend. They see y'all coming. They see y'all coming, and they see y'all going. And because y'all don't have knowledge of the Bible, of how the word Easter appears and what it really means, you're being taken advantage of. And you know what? The Most High is laughing at you for that, because that's your fault, because you ignorant, because you ain't been taught, because you haven't opened the Bible. You're going by man-made traditions. And I'll be not even getting to the root of what you're supposed to be celebrating.
God. So as we continue with Isaiah 33 and 6, where it says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, that we have to come back and get to the point where we understand we have not been operating with God's knowledge. To really think and have it impressed upon us that Easter is something biblical, that Easter is something sent by God, and that by observing Easter and Christmas and Thanksgiving, that God is being honored, because I got my Sunday best suit, my Sunday best dress, and I'm going in here and I'm making a grand show of myself, that somehow this is praising God. Even though I'm teaching my children that it was a rabbit that laid some eggs. It was a magical bunny rabbit. But we all know, again, if the Son of God is about the truth, but now a rabbit lays some eggs. When have we ever seen a rabbit, which is a mammal, laying any eggs? Never. But we teach our children these things. Real quick, Pastor, can you help me out? I think it's 1 John or 2 John verse 6. 2 John verse 6. And I'm still waiting for them to come up with the Zoom meeting. I'm not sure what's going on with that. I'm waiting.
Okay.
It says waiting for the host to start the meeting. I guess maybe we're not going to do the Zoom, but I'm still there just in case the camera does pick on.
Okay, you said you went 1 John or 2 John.
2 John. 2 John.
Yeah, 2 John. Verse 6. Okay. 2 John,
verse 4.
verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth.
So what rejoices God? Not the fact that...
I rejoice
that
greatly.
Go ahead.
I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Yeah, and Mashaba, I know that, and that's why I'm taking my time, because I know that you clicked me in, but when you clicked me in, there's a delay between us.
Understood. Thwala, babe. That's right, so we can use her Zoom. Baby, it's cool. Now it's time to send the invitation out. And for whatever reason, like I said, I'm waiting. I'm all lined up. And it says, please wait for the host to start this meeting. So Thwala, yes, right, for inviting me, I can use your Zoom. I'm just, but Thwala. And trust me, I got you. That there's a delay, so we're dancing this together. We're in this dance together. We got this. So as the scripture says in Second John, chapter 1, verse 4, that it says, "I rejoice greatly that thy children are walking in the truth." What is truthful about a rabbit that lays eggs? What is true about eggs coming out different, multicolors, neon colors? You know, I used to frequent the farmers markets a lot here in San Antonio, and a lot of people might be, you know, as you get into more health conscious, you want to get away from the white products. So you want to get away from white eggs, you want to get away from white sugar, you get away from the white flour, what have you. So keeping that in mind, going to the farmers markets, I would always look for the brown eggs. They have green eggs. Dr. Seuss wasn't lying about that. Yeah, they do have green eggs. But you know what gives an egg its color? Have you ever researched or wondered what gives an egg its color? What's that?
Green eggs and ham, huh? That's where it came from?
I don't know about the ham. The ham might have been rotten.
But they got green eggs for real, huh?
And believe it or not, they also have it's the color of the hen that gives the egg its color.
Wow.
If the chicken is white, then the chicken's gonna lay white eggs. Ain't got nothing to do with the chicken is out free range, wild range, or organically fed or whatever. If the chicken is white, the egg's gonna be white. If the chicken is brown, the egg's gonna be brown. And they actually have some hens that are green, a light green.
Wow.
If you look at quail eggs, a lot of quails are spotted and striped. So guess what their eggs are? Spotted.
And that makes sense. No, it makes sense, right? Because I don't get too deep into it, but that's what our kids look like us.
No doubt.
It's only natural that their kids should look like them.
Kind of. It's natural. But I have to say that again. Inherited traits. That's right, baby. Inherited traits. So, again, the Bible says God is happy when our children are walking in truth. But what was the first controversy God had with us from Hosea chapter 4? There's no truth. So we have our kids doing a lot of things and following a lot of traditions out of fear, out of superstition, out of customs and traditions that have not a damn thing to do with God. Now, we're raising our children with these customs, with these traditions, and not with God's commandments and with God's understanding, with God's knowledge. Now, we done passed on our fears. We done passed on our panics.
We don't pass on our superstitions to our children, and God still is not getting the praise, even though every Sunday, every Easter Sunday, you're running up at church. Every Easter Sunday, you got a brand new dress. You got to make sure you got a brand new dress. Your kids got a brand new suit on, got brand new Easter the church shoes, and are doing all these things, and they are not honoring God in the least bit. In the least bit. He is not acknowledging it. He's not seeing it. He's not recognizing it. If that's the two times you go to church, Easter and Christmas, God still is not recognizing it. God still is not acknowledging what you're doing as something righteous in his eyes. So we can read that one more time on 2 John verse 4. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 4.
2 John chapter 1 verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth.
That rejoices God greatly, that our children are walking in the truth. Again, hence the title, Why Passover and Not Easter? Because if you email me out this one more time, you're reading 2 John, chapter 1 and verse 4. Can you now just the 3 John, chapter 1 and verse 4?
3 John, chapter 1, verse 4. I have no greater joy.
Let's start with three.
For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, as thou walkest in the truth.
Again,
I have no greater
really
joy.
Are we really walking in the truth? Are we walking in God's word and in God's commandments? That this is what makes him happy. You know what's crazy with religion and what we've been taught about God? We've been taught that if you're happy, God's happy. That's what has been the underlying theme in just about every religion that we participate in. If you're happy, God's happy. So that's why you can have a church that's got, it's got pedophiles in the church. It's got homosexuals running the whole church service. Because if it makes you happy, that means God happy. If you're happy, and you feel like you actually have a love, intimate relationship with a llama, and that was one of the things, like, for those who might be old enough, that might remember a TV show called Jerry Springer. It was part of the beginning of the reality TV shows. I didn't want to call it really reality, but it was real people getting on there. And one of the things that Jerry Springer would focus on was freaks. Was abnormal people. And their true feelings. And one time he had on there a man that had married a llama. And the man's argument was, why are you mad at me for finally finding love? Why are you mad at me for me finally finding happiness? So we really have this thing where if it makes you happy, that makes God happy, even though it's got nothing to do with God's commandments or God's words. You know, it's crazy. If you go to a restaurant and you order something at a restaurant, and the hostess or host brings you the wrong food, are you going to be happy? you tell the hostess that you're a vegetarian, and they bring you back a full meat platter. Is that going to make you happy? No, because you're a vegetarian. But somehow we got in our minds that now the hostess probably made them happy, but didn't bring you what you ordered or bring you what you wanted. And you would expect them some type of consequence or discipline to come to this person if they brought you the wrong order and expected you just to accept it. We can understand that and get very high irate and pissed and angry and want the demand justice. over some food because the hostess or host didn't bring what we ordered. How is it we can feel justified in those and something like that, but when it comes to God, it's about, no, God wants me to be happy. So God's going to give me what I want. God's going to give me what I like. But I'm not going to give God what he wants or what he likes. And that's what makes him happy? Please. That's why we're reading the scripture. This is why we're reading the Bible. So again, 3 John chapter 1, now verse 4.
3 John chapter 1, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
Again, this is the words of the Bible. Are your children walking in the truth, or they're walking in your lies, your superstition, your phobias? Are they walking in your delusions? Are they walking in your idiosyncrasies? Or are your children giving something for God to joy about, that your children are walking in the truth? They're walking in God's commandments. And let's read that scripture real quick. If you could get and read St. John 17:17, I'm going to get this other one real quick, if you don't mind, if you break it down for me real quick.
St. John chapter 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So, to be sanctified means to be cleansed or be purified, y'all. And the Most High, Yahweh Shai Christ, because this was a prayer that he sent up. So these are instructions. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. But we think our happiness is the truth, or what makes us feel good is the truth. When that's not according to the Bible, that has nothing to do with God. Just because you happy and you doing what you want to do, like I was bringing out, man, I can be a crackhead. I can be perfectly happy smoking crack. Or these days, I can be on pills, and I can be perfectly happy doing pills, even though I look around and my whole life is being destroyed right in front of my eyes. And I know my life is being destroyed because I'm destroying it by using pills. I could fix it if I stopped using the pills, but the pills make me happy. This be our logic, man. This be our logic. But because of what society has pushed, and it's like that, what's the term they use? I was listening to a show today. Hovering. That's what it is, hovering. This lady was talking about how the so-called millennials, they've been damaged because they've been hovered over by their parents. Meaning that they haven't had to do anything for themselves. Everybody's did things for them. That's the mentality of this place. So if you have this pill issue or drug addiction or whatever type of addiction you have that makes you happy, that's ruined your life, instead of you taking control of it and stop doing it, having the discipline to stop doing it, you're looking for somebody else to do it for you. And because of this, you're continually lying to yourself that you're actually happy when your world is basically crumbling right in front of your eyes, man. But because of society, we have this mindset. That's why we have to come back to the knowledge of the truth and wash our minds from this. If it makes me feel good, I'm going to do it no matter what the consequences are. That's off. That's whack. You probably just looking for Michelle.
I sure have. Following up behind St. John chapter 17, verse 17, I'm going to read this, and I got it. It's Psalms 119 to verse 151. It's Psalms 119 to verse 151. Psalms 119 to verse 151. And it says, Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true. So when he says, what joy does God find when our children are walking in not only God's word, but his commandments? And walking means you direct your life according to God's commandments. You walk. The way you go, what you're standing on, What's going to keep you stable, you're walking in the Word of God. You're walking on God's Word, that true foundation, that true stability. You're keeping God's commandments. Not just the commandments about the Sabbath or not shaving your beard or not eating pork, all his commandments. I'm gonna read the scripture again. Psalm chapter 119, verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true. That's not just the ones you like, not just the ones you agree with, but are we really walking in all of God's commandments, which is the truth, which is what our people need to be sanctified with. So that as we read again, Isaiah 33, verse 6, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of your salvation. That what's the wisdom that's going to keep you stable? From there, if you can read this for me, Job chapter 28, verse 28. Job chapter 28, verse 28.
Job chapter 28 and verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, fear the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding.
So if wisdom and knowledge is going to be the stability of times and strength of salvation, then what wisdom is God talking about that's going to be your stability? The wisdom that God is talking about is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of his wisdom.
Okay.
The beginning of doing things his way. That's what's going to keep you stable. But look at all the things that our people turn to, looking for stability, and it doesn't work. You know, I'm on Pandora, and I was just listening to a black comedian as he was doing a lot of driving and stuff, just to help pass the time. And it's like one of them had brought up about Robin Williams, how he committed suicide. Now,
who?
Regardless of Robin Williams' ethnicity, how rich and well off was Robin Williams that he committed suicide? Because right behind Robin Williams, they mentioned Don Cornelius. Don Cornelius, the inventor,
right,
for those who might be old enough to remember Soul Train. This man lost careers of many of famous artists. Why would somebody like Don Cornelius commit suicide? If money, riches, and fame is supposed to be stability, how many of our celebrities have committed suicide? From the Billie Holidays, the Greg Rubidosing or what have you, the Whitney Houstons. If money and fame and travel were supposed to be stability, then why are so many of our affluent, rich, celebrity-like people so miserable? If money was supposed to be the stability. If money is supposed to be stability, why do so many rich of our people have drug problems? If that's supposed to be what's supposed to keep you stable, if a relationship is supposed to keep you stable, how can so many of our people are willing and want to commit suicide behind the breakup of a boyfriend, girlfriend, or a marriage? If that's what's supposed to keep you safe. How many husbands is Halle Berry going to get? Who at one time was considered one of the most beautiful women in the world. And you still can't find happiness? Our people keep looking for, like the song says, or that old country song says, looking for love in all the wrong places.
I haven't done the statistics, but it just came to me right now. I wonder how many people died Easter Sunday on the way to church.
Hmm.
Or coming back to church. How many of them died with the Easter eggs still in their basket? How many car wrecks were there that the Easter Bunny did not save them from? Did the Easter Bunny save anybody from COVID? Our people break their backs to keep up with these traditions and these customs. They have nothing to do with God. But one thing you won't do is just open your Bible, read the Bible, and show yourself approved of God. And therefore, you have a life for this. You don't know what you're doing. In James chapter 1, verse 8, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The truth of the matter is, you really don't know right from wrong. You follow the crowd. And the thinking is, well, if the whole crowd's doing it, if all these people are doing it, it must be right. So at one time, why is it you don't see any more cigarette commercials? Because at one time, they used to flood radio, TV, everywhere with cigarette commercials.
And the billboards, too.
And billboards. I know they stopped the publication, but Jet Magazine and Ebony Magazine always had a full-page ad for Cool Super Long. You don't see them no more because it's deadly.
But everybody was doing it.
Everybody was doing it.
And it's like we've gotten away from what your mama told you. If everybody jump off a cliff, you gonna jump too? Remember that one?
I do remember that one. I remember it, yes. But we have no stability and really no right from wrong, especially if you're going to base, if your measure for right or wrong is based on your feelings, you are not going to have any stability in your life at all. You can forget about it. And that's why, can you read this for me, Aunt? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If your stability is based on your feelings change. Feelings change, seasons change. For those of you who remember that song.
And you said 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Yeah, we're going to start at verse 1.
2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men
when
shall
we
be
word perilous.
Of their...
When we lose the word perilous, perilous means dangerous. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of dangerous things happening in these last days. One, of course, knows the last days. And it's one of the first things to recognize that we're in the last days that's going to be a danger to people is that men are going to be what?
Lovers of them own of their own selves.
That men are going to be lovers of their own selves. You love you more than anything. The psychological term would be narcissistic. It's all about you. That's dangerous because the two greatest commandments is what?
love God with all your heart, all your soul, and what? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. But in this capitalistic society that we live in, what you do for you, as long as you feel good, as long as you're happy, that's all that matters. If you like it, I love it. That's against God.
Hey.
That is against God. But one of the most dangerous things is that men are going to be lovers of their own self. Yeah, we can take that real broad also. We can talk about how there's homosexuality and lesbianism and the alphabet sexuality. We can take it there. Because all they're doing is the ultimate in whatever makes them feel happy. We can use the alphabet people as an example for this is people who just do what makes them happy. But we don't have to go that extreme to find people that just want to do what makes them happy. They just want to do what makes them feel good. Regardless of what the Bible says, regardless of what God says, regardless of what everything and everyone around them says, it's all about how you feel. That's dangerous. But this is going to be one of the things. This is what, these are some of the signs that of things that were going on before the flood, why God had to bring the flood with Noah's Ark in the beginning. This was the mentality of the world, that God had destroyed every living human being on the planet except for 8 people. It was the ultimate reset. It was the ultimate, just sweep all the pieces off the game board and just start over, because this is too messed up. This was the mentality of people during that time. And we see it present at this time. To where people really think Easter is the right way. What's funny is a lot of people don't even know Passover.
They
don't have a clue about Passover. And the only retort they have is, oh, well, that's the Old Testament. Do you even realize that the Last Supper, that was Christ celebrating the Passover? That wasn't the very first communion for those that are in the Roman Catholic Church. The bread and wine that they were eating in the upper room that they were at was to honor the Passover. The unleavened bread. Was in keeping God's commandments. And you can best believe it had nothing to do with no rabbit laying eggs. So, men can be lovers of their own selves. What else we got, huh?
Covetous.
Covetous. You want everything, but don't want to put the work in. What was that term you just used on? About the kids who, what did you say it was?
Hovering?
Is that what it is? You just explained it. It's like there's an expectation that they're supposed to just be giving everything, but not having put the work in.
Yeah. They've had their parents do everything for them. Yeah, they call that on the parents' behalf, the parents' title is hovering. That's what they call it.
Okay, the parents call it hovering. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The description, and we're ready to put it right now, but it says, there's a generation that you always err.
Mm.
There's a generation that God is always grieved with. That there's a generation that just can't get it right. There's some type of expectation or not reading or not studying or not reading the Bible, something that it just, regardless of all that God does, It's just a refuse to acknowledge that it's the Most High. It is not going along with a person's feelings. So, in the last days, men are going to be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Why can't I have what everybody else has? Well, they put the work in. I want my liberty. I want my freedom. I want to be acknowledged as a grown up, but I don't want to have to be responsible.
Ain't that the truth?
That's covetousness. What else we got?
Boasters.
And then boast. From every rap song, every hip hop song, everything, just boasting. From that damn show that first started back in the 80s, Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous, ruined for that was it. Because from there you went to eventually Yo MTV Cribs. To Well, what's that one with Two Chainz? Most Expensive is the business.
I don't know that one.
It's not even some grammar. It's actually kind of old. You can find it on YouTube. It's Two Chainz, and the name of the show is called The Most Expensive Is It.
Wow.
Just make the word as country as you can. And it's him going on the show, eating and participating. They have like $1,000 hamburgers that you actually get like pieces of gold shavings on the hamburger when you eat it.
Wow.
They have one show where this dude actually goes to like supposedly. It was like Antarctica and top of Mount Everest and puts air in a bottle and sells it for like $1,000 a bottle.
Wow.
To where you're not able to breathe this type of air at this amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you go on YouTube, you'll see it. Just type in Two Chainz. Just start to type in expensive and it'll come up. And it's a show that's been out for about 4 or 5 years now.
Great.
It's not sure how I'm living. Put it in the bag. We'll get into it's that show, it's the kids of all the hip-hop artists. Like Bow Wow, Romeo,
going up here,
Elder Barnes.
Is it going
it's
up
hip hop? But it's one more time.
Growing up hip hop.
Growing up hip hop. Boasters. When WAP wins the Grammy Award, I'm almost glad the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, or you know damn well, Gladys Knight, whatever, they were not at that show. Real women sing, real singers, you know damn well they were not at that show talking about June. Thoughts on stage, one or different, and the subject matter is wet. Win a Grammy for that garbage? So forget about the Ella Fitzgeralds and again, like the Aretha Franklin, the Gladys Knight and the Huggy Jackson. Forget about them. Now it's about WAP. the Shelly Murdochs, the Nina Simone, just desiccating all on the microphone. Boasters. What else you got on?
Proud.
I'm going to let you just read the rest of the list. Go ahead.
Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy.
I keep going.
Without natural affection. Truth breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God.
Lovers of pleasures. It says lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That this how you know we're in the last days. That we can read the Bible black and white, but if it doesn't agree with or go with how you feel, you're not going to have no parts of that. But the Bible telling us this is going to be the mentality of a lot of people in these last days. That people are more driven by how they feel. It will make them feel good as opposed to God's laws, statutes, and commandments. His way of doing things. It is love of pleasures more than ways of God, right?
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away.
So, we could be further than that, but I don't want to. Yeah. In these last days, we got to make sure that we're walking in God's word and his law and his way of doing things. From there, if we go back now to Isaiah, not 33 and 6, but the next chapter, Isaiah 34, 16. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16.
Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16. Speak ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth it had commanded, and his spirit it had gathered them.
So we're supposed to be seeking out the book of the Lord and reading. And we're going to now get into the thing about what the Bible does say about Easter. And on top of some of the things you already just brought out. Then are you following God? Matter of fact, let's go to St. John chapter 4, verse 22.
St. John chapter 4. And verse 22, ye worship, ye know not what. We know
so
what we worship.
Again, finish it.
For salvation is of the Jews.
So again, this is Christ speaking. And what does Christ say? Ye worship, ye know not what. Have you thought for a minute, where does the practice, the worship, the tradition, of teaching kids lies that radically age on Easter Sunday? Where did that originate from? Where did that come from? What is that all about? And what has that got to do with Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead? And is that how God said to acknowledge, if you said to acknowledge Christ's resurrection from the dead, is that how he said to acknowledge it? Is by teaching people that all your sins are forgiven because a rabbit started laying eggs? Or is that based on your feelings? Because you look at the look on your kids' faces
when they find an Easter egg. And because they had such joy in their face when they found an Easter egg, you would trade that for the world, even though it got nothing to do with God. Because of the feeling you get from looking in your kid's eyes when they find the Easter egg. How many kids can't stand the Easter egg outfit, the Easter Sunday outfit you buy from anyway? So is it really for the kids buying that stiff-ass, itchy-ass suit or dress? Or is that for you?
because you were told you're supposed to have good memories around this time. So you're trying to force that lie on your children. You're going to make them play dress up. Do you know what you're worshiping? And like I said, we know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. And I could have started and ended the class with that one scripture right there. What was the Jews' very first salvation?
Passover.
It was called Passover.
Hey, I don't know if you got this, but you got the two Babylons? Were you going there?
If you got it, I'll bring it out, please. This is time.
All right. Like Christ said, you worship, you know not what. So a lot of people have no idea what they're worshiping when they worship Easter. So I'm bringing this book out. It's titled The Two Babylons, The Papal Worship. And this is by actually a reverend named Alexander Hyslop. And throughout the whole book, he's basically going over and breaking down how Catholicism is nothing more than deity worship. All right, and I'm reading from page 103. And the section is section 2. It says Easter. Then look at Easter. What means the term Easter itself? It is not a Christian name. It bears its Chaldean origin on its very forehead. It's nothing else. Now listen to this, y'all. Easter is nothing else than Astarte, one of the titles of Beltis, the Queen of Heaven, whose name, as pronounced by the people of Nemea, was evidently identical with that now in common use in this country. So it says Astarte. And for those who don't know, it's the same lady that's on the Starbucks sign, y'all. It's the Starbucks lady. So when you're celebrating Easter, you're celebrating this goddess or this deity named Astarte. Now listen to this. It says,
who happened to be the goddess of fertility. I'm sorry. I digress. Go ahead.
No. I'm glad you chimed in with that one. It says, that name, as found by Layer of the Assyrians monument, the Chaldeans call her Astarte, the Assyrians call her Ishtar, but it's all one and the same. And it says, the worship of Baal and Astarte was very early introduced into Britain, along with the Druids of the priests of the groves, and that's all I'm going to read of that. But this is actually what you're worshiping when you're worshiping Easter. And like Mashaba brought out, it is, in fact, the fertility god. And what I like about the lies, man, is you can dissect the lie if you look closely at the lie. All these Easter eggs are representing what? Fertility. Because what does a woman carry? She carries an egg, right? And it has to be fertilized by a man. So this is where you get the concept of Easter eggs.
Kind of. Which is no different than you see that old ancient idol of the woman with all the mini breasts.
Mm-hmm.
A fertility goddess. It's the same identical worship. The rabbit represents the same Easter rabbit is the same rabbit is the same Playboy Bunny rabbit.
Yep, same thing.
It's the same rabbit,
and we know what rabbits are known for. Y'all may have heard the term back in the day, effing like a rabbit.
Yeah. We don't die, we multiply. And this is why Christ said what he said. You worship, you know not what.
But we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. If salvation of the Jews, what was of the Jews' very first salvation? It was the Passover. And that's what we recognize and we honor every year is the Passover. When we read Leviticus chapter 23, God tells us what his feast days are. You want to go there?
Could I get, you probably already got it. You got Acts 12 and 4 in here?
Yes. Do you have your Zonovan?
Yeah, con.
Cool. Let's read the big scripture first, and then we'll jump to Acts 12.
All right, cool. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast.
So these are God's feast days that we're about to read about. And he commanded them to be holy convocations, meaning these are days we're supposed to gather together and honor. Read.
Shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings.
And no matter where we're at, the Sabbath day, which is from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, the seventh day, is supposed to be observed. And the reason we're not supposed to work is so we can gather together. We can congregate. These are God's and the feast days. It's festival days. The first one that he mentioned, the Sabbath. Every Friday sundown, every Saturday sundown. Where you going, sir?
These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover.
Is the Lord's what?
Passover.
If everybody noticed, he said this was the 14th day of the first month. Guess what he did not mention? The first day of the first month. Which would be considered what? The new year. So guess what God did not command the children of Israel to have a feast day on and celebrate? There was no New Year celebration. And it damn sure also was not in the dead of winter. Talking about December 31st, January 1st. The first, after he said, mentioned the Sabbath, was every 7 days, he mentions the first month, the 14th day, the Passover, is a holy convocation. This is what's supposed to be observed. It didn't say nothing about no Easter. Finish that verse for me, please, bro.
I finished 5. Did you want 6 or no?
No, we cool with that because we're going to go to other things. I just want to get that Passover. That God said this would be observed in all our dwellings. Whether we were going in Israel, we were kicked out and dwelled in Europe, Asia, Africa, or in the Americas. That this is a time we are supposed to observe in walking in God's truth. Which is his what, according to Psalms 119, verse 151, his commandments. That we're walking in his commandments, the Passover. Now, let's go ahead and get to it at the end of the little bit of time we have left. Let's go ahead and break down where the word Easter is in the Bible and what it really means. Let's go to Acts chapter 12, verse 4.
Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. And
now,
when he had,
did you ask him what he had?
No. Were you going to Exodus 12 or no?
Exodus 12 for what reason?
Just showing what the Passover is.
We don't have that time.
Time constraints, I get it. All good. So we're going to Acts 12 and 4, right?
Right.
Okay. Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him.
You know what? Start at verse 1.
Chapter 12 and verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it please the Jews.
The same James and John, the sons of thunder, that were the apostles and disciples of Christ, this king Herod had put them to death. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews to put these men to death, it's because he apprehended Peter. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Read this one again. I didn't mean to interrupt. Read it again.
It's on verse 3?
Wherever you lift up at.
Come, verse 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread.
So, and the time period that this happened was the time of unleavened bread. Now, we didn't read it. We didn't continue reading it in Leviticus 23, but the Passover is the beginning of unleavened bread. So we know it's in the springtime that all this is taking place. And it was the Jews, Israelites, time of the Passover.
And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him up to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people.
So we're seeing here that there was a celebration called Easter. And what we're going to find out is that this, as Paul already just brought out, Easter was also the witch goddess? Which nation's god?
Asherah, the child of the Chaldeans.
Right.
Of the Assyrians.
Of the Chaldeans. Mm-hmm. Of the Assyrians. And that the same way that you pronounce Easter is how they pronounce this god's name back in this ancient place. And that the celebration of Easter happened to take place when? During the time of Passover and unleavened bread. Now, you're the Zondervan. You gonna read that, please? I know you read the two Babylons. You can read Easter and the Zondervan.
Yeah, I got it. It's on page 140 of the Zondervan Compact Pictorial Bible Dictionary, and it reads Easter, Passover, rendered Easter in Acts 12 and 4, King James Version, but correctly translated Passover.
Now, it says that, but we're going to get further into this a little bit, that the time period was the Passover time period. But we're going to find out that during the time of Passover, and unleavened bread, it was also the pagan celebration of the worship of Easter, which was this other goddess. So as we put the title of Easter or Passover over Easter, we're going to find out that Easter was the celebration of the worship of the goddess Easter, who was a sex goddess, a fertility goddess. Now, that's what I read from the Zondervan Pictorial Bible Dictionary. I'm going to read now from the Eastern Bible Dictionary. I'm going to read from several dictionaries, as a matter of fact. But this is the Eastern Bible Dictionary. And this is what it has for Easter. It says, originally a Saxon word, Easter, denoted the goddess of the Saxons, in honor of whom sacrifices were offered about the time of the Passover.
So from the Eastern Bible Dictionary, this researcher, I just sort of put together that the word Eastern is a Saxon word, denoting a goddess of the Saxons, whom, in honor of whom sacrifices were offered about the time of the Passover. Hence the name came to be given to be the festival of the resurrection of Christ, which occurred at the time of the Passover. And in early English versions, the word was frequently used as the translation of the Greek Paschaka, the Passover. When the authorized version of 1611 was formed, the word Passover was used in all passages in which this word, Paschak, occurred, except in Genesis 7:12, verse 4. The revised version of the proper word Passover is always used. But I wanted to get that this word Easter, again, like we read from Arthur Hislop to Babylon, that was the name of a goddess, a sex goddess, a fertility goddess. And her worship happened to be during the time of unleavened bread and Passover, but it had nothing to do with the Jews. It had nothing to do with Christ, except that it happened to be during the same season. All right? Now move to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. It says Easter. From the Aramaic, Ashar, Bashak, and Hebrew Bashak, the Passover, festival. And this is what it says. The English word comes from the Anglo-Saxon Easter, or Ishtar, a Catonic goddess of whom sacrifice was offered in April. So the name was transferred to the Paschal feast, or the Passover feast. But this was a Catonic goddess, a Saxon goddess. That was the actual name, was Easter, or as I call it, Ishtar, which in other nations, it was Venus, it was Aphrodite, it was Hera, it was Ashtoreth, Molech. I'm looking at your other names. Yeah. Again, these were all pagan deities, pagan goddesses, and the goddesses of fertility. Again, the why the rabbit is associated with this goddess is because the rabbit multiplies very quickly. The rabbit is known for fornicating. So in doing this, in that fertility, and again, that's why the Playboy Bunny is the Playboy Bunny. Going back to the honor of Easter, of Ashtar, the sex goddess. So whether it's the Playboy Bunny or whether it's the Easter Bunny, it's the same vibe. It's the same thing representing this goddess of sex, this fertility.
Even the Starbucks lady, because a lot of people don't know this, but the sign that they have now is revised because the one they had before used to actually show the lady's breast. But if you look at the sign now, her hair is covering her breast up, which goes back to, like Michelle was bringing out, Astarte, their fertility god.
Now I'm going to the Encyclopedia of Biblical, Theological, and Ecclesiastical Literature. The Encyclopedia of Biblical, Theological, and Ecclesiastical Literature. And I'm doing this, again, because for it to say, my people to say for lack of knowledge, and that we worship, we have no idea we're worshiping, I want to go and get all these reference books. As well as, I'm glad that's why I had the copy of the, I forgot all about it, I wasn't even thinking about it, to be honest, from the two Babylons. That this is what scholars have put together. So while you run the church thinking that you're doing something praising God or whatever, have you done the research? Have you done the studies? And not just when it comes to something like Easter, what about other things that you partake in?
Right.
That you might consider to be harmless, like tattoos, smoking cigarettes, smoking cigars, ear piercings, getting gauges.
Like you was bringing out earlier, or the things that make you happy okay with God? Have you researched that? Or are they totally contradictory to God in the Bible?
And it's based on how you feel. So now from the Encyclopedia of Biblical, Theological, and Ecclesiastical Literature, Easter, a Greek form of the Hebrew Pesach and also Latinized by the Vulgate Pesachah. An example, Passover. Easter is a word of Saxon origin and imports a goddess of the Saxons, or rather of the East, Hysteria, in honor of whom sacrifice being annually offered about the Passover time of the year, which is the spring. The name became attached by association of ideas to the Christian festival of the resurrection, which happened at the time of Passover. Hence, we say Easter day, Easter Sunday, but very improperly, as we by no means refer to the festival that kept to the goddess of the ancient Saxons. So the present German word for Easter, Ostern, is referred to the same goddess, Estera or Astora or Calmet. The occurrence of this word in the authorized version, Acts chapter 12, verse 4. Again, is referring to what? A sex goddess. And since we got 90 seconds. When I look at the word Estara or Estarte, E-O-S-T-R-E, it says the goddess Estara was Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring. The East resurrection and rebirth is also the maiden aspect of the threefold goddess.
So part of the association of this goddess, Astarte, Asterisk, Easter, is resurrection and rebirth, is associated with this term Easter. It got nothing to do with God, Christ, or the truth.
Let me see here. Because we just got the 90-second warning. Astarte was an important goddess of spring to the ancient Saxons, but we know little use of her over this than some suggest that Astarte is merely a alternate for Frigg or Freya. Astarte is an ultimate name for Frigg or Freya, where we get the name Friday from.
Going back to the again the Saxons, where we get Saturn and the word of Saturday, we get Jupiter and the worship of Sundays, so I'm going to get to the sun god, and Wednesday. Goes back to Odin.
Mm-hmm. Odin. Okay.
That's where we get these things from.
Now, let me get one more. I think we can call it. This is from Wikipedia. And it says, Oster or Astra, Old English Astarte, Easter, is a Germanic goddess who, by way of the Germanic month, bearing her name, West Saxon, High German, is the namesake of the festival of Easter. In some languages, Astarte is attested solely by Bell in the 8th century work, The Reckoning of Time. Bell states that during this month, the equivalent of April, pagan Anglo-Saxons had a feast in Astarte's honor, but that it is that this tradition had died out by his time, replaced by the Christian Paschal month, a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. By way of the linguistic reconstruction, the name of the goddess called Estaro in a proto-dramatic language has been examined in detail since the foundation of the dramatic philosophy. So it goes on. There's a lot more reading to be done. And I've got a lot more scriptures. But I'm going to leave it with that
as we've been on 2 hours and it's gotten kind of late. That, again, the reason we don't,
we're not following traditions and customs because everybody else is doing it. What one scripture Christ says is that we do err not knowing the scriptures, but the power of God. So with that, I hope, brothers and sisters, that either tuned in live or you might be catching the archive show, and this is something that might help feed your spirit, might help you get some understanding and some stability, that when somebody's trying to come at you or about why you're calling Passover and not Easter, when everybody else is doing it, then now you might have a little foundation. You might have something you actually stand on, know that you're doing right by honoring the Passover and not honoring Easter. But on top of that, you know, that you might understand also, make sure that you're not like these people that honor Easter, that the only reason they do is because Easter makes them feel good. And how many habits or how many things do you do that you do only because it makes you feel good? With that, Brother Cousin Father, that's all I got. How about yourself?
Brother, I ain't got nothing else.
Cool. And if you want to add to this class, Fox, you know the floor is yours. Don't even operate lately, because I know it happens. There's more you want to bring out, please. Just give the word.
Come on, brother. We'll do.
All right, so with that, brothers and sisters, it is Wednesday night. I suspect the next class I might probably do will probably be Friday morning. We'll see. We're trying to make the adjustment to the nighttime schedule for the sake of the Buzz in Albuquerque and also Buzz in Houston, as they have to reach to the warehouse by 6 a.m. So that doesn't leave a lot of time for them. It's a sacrifice, all in the same. They're going to make, but we're trying to adjust for everybody that we possibly can. So look for another class possibly on Friday. There might even be one tomorrow. I'm not sure. But look for another class most likely on Friday and most assuredly on Sunday. Around Sunday is when we have the brother Nagaya doing his outstanding breakdowns, chapter breakdowns that are phenomenal. That will resume this Sunday on Blog Talk and Zoom. And then, you know, Tuesdays, unless something happens, it's probably on Tuesdays. That is going to keep rocking and be consistent. It's been the most consistent classes that we've definitely had. So with that, brothers and sisters, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Remember, you can catch us also on YouTube at ISBHPK, and you can catch from ISBHPK Houston, ISBHPK Norfolk, ISBHPK San Antonio, and as we get our outreach channel back up and running everything, we'll catch all of our shows and everything. So with that, brothers and sisters, keep studying. This is stability in your life. And let's get about it again. Tell us about anything.
I just want to thank everybody for tuning in, man. Thanks for y'all's support.
All right, then. So with that, we're going to say shalom.
Shalom.